Welcome to episode 3 in our Writing for Websites series. So in this episode, Ella and I are going to look at 3 essential pages for your website. Now, whatever your business, whether you're selling a product or a service, there are 3 essential pages that we think that everybody needs. We're going to be looking at your welcome, or you could call it your home page. We're looking at your about page and the contact page. And this episode follows on from our previous 2 episodes in this series. Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some light bulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together.
So yeah, while we're talking about 3 pages today, of course, a website can be many more pages, and it could be different pages to the ones that we're going to talk about. But we think these are fundamental pages that your audience needs to see on your website to get the gist of what you're about and whether you are the right person for them or right company for them to work with. So, of course, there are other things that we could talk about, which we're not covering in detail today, but we will touch on them a little bit. Things like if you're a product-based business, you know, you would have product pages. If you're a service-based business, you would have services. You would have case studies and testimonials, maybe a portfolio of work that you've done before. But we're going to stick to the homepage, the about page, and the all important contact page.
Yeah. And we don't want to sort of teach you to suck eggs, because at the end of the day, people go, oh, well, I know. But we're just hoping that just by going through just a few things today, that you will hopefully come away with a bit of a light bulb moment or a little golden nugget of info that actually will really help you. And one of the things actually that Ella and I were discussing when we were putting this episode together is that it's very rare, I think, that small businesses are really good at keeping an eye on the analytics and seeing how long people stay on their website. And I think, you know, if people are literally going onto your homepage and staying about 5 seconds and then leaving, then clearly there's a problem with your with your homepage. So, you know, it is important to revisit it. And we looked at that last time, didn't we, in the last episode?
Yeah, yeah. So you don't want people to be sort of bouncing straight off your page as soon as they get there. If they do, it means that they don't feel like it's for them. So that's where it's really important, that landing page. The home page is a catch-all page, and it's very difficult to be everything to everyone. You can't be everything to everyone. You have to be something to someone. It has to mean something to your ideal visitor, and that's who you're writing to. As a website creator, you do want to, you know, maximize the amount of people who stay on your page and read it, but you need to be very focused in the way you do it. So let's dig in, shall we?
Yeah, so let's first, should we just cover why it's so important, the homepage?
Yeah.
So it is the place where your visitors get a first impression. Yeah. So it sets the tone, represents your brand. And really, what you have on that homepage will determine whether the visitor stays on the site or whether they leave.
Yeah. And this is the tricky part, because you only have a certain amount of space to play with. And if you're a big tech company and your service is complex, you know, it has complexity there. Sometimes it's very hard to define in few words what it is you do and who it's for. But that is the challenge. That is the challenge you need to crack, really. It's how you can say in few words and few images what the value of your offering is to that website visitor. if you get it right, then the visitor will be at least curious to read more. And if you get it wrong, then they just don't feel like it's a good fit for them and they're off. So the homepage also, it acts as a valuable landing page. It is the landing page. It's the catch page where people come first. And arguably, it's the most important page on your website because it is the first thing that a visitor, generally speaking, will see, unless they've come from a specific link that's been advertised somewhere else. But if they're typing in your URL or they've found you on a search engine, the chances are they'll land on your homepage first.
Yeah, so it's your shop window and it's where you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged, you know, do I stay, do I go, is this for me, is this not for me?
And I think a general rule of thumb is, and you've probably got less than 5 seconds, but you've got about 5 seconds to get it, you know, to get your message across. Otherwise, people will vanish. And it's probably more like 3 seconds, knowing people's attention spans these days. So
what do we need to include then? So having a look at what we need to include, I mean, obviously from a sort of design perspective, but obviously from a branding perspective, it would be, you know, your logo and brand colours, because you're wanting this to obviously reflect everything else that you're doing in your business.
Yeah, I would argue that, you know, this isn't in a particularly order of importance. Pretty websites, yes, they might feel that looks, not, you know, the nice eye candy to look at, but it's not the most important. Sometimes the message is more important, I would argue.
I know, I was just trying to get the design stuff out the way. So things like site menu, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of hero images or something that's going to grab attention.
Yeah, let's just break these down a bit one by one, though, because the site menu, we mean the navigation panel, don't we? The navigation bar at the top, or it's a menu bar. It could be, it used to be in the old days, you usually see it down the left-hand side, but that seems like a very old-style website now. But there will be some sort of navigation panel on your homepage that people have a signpost of where they could go. Headlines, they need to be succinct. They need to engage your audience, so they're like, you know, the hook points, aren't they? The thing, yep, that the big bold text.
And I think you want to make it as short as possible. I mean, I think they say maximum 10 to 12 words. I think if you can do it with less, that's better,
because even that feels more like a sentence, 10 to 12 words, than a headline. I prefer the shorter, snappier variety.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I think if you can do it shorter, then that's much better.
Also, remembering the format, you know, if you want these words to stand out, they need to be like a large typography, a large size. So you're not going to fit less words on the page. If you've got a very long headline, it's going to be smooshed up and smaller. But you can have headline and a subhead, you know, you can break it down into different components, so you don't have to try and cram everything into the headline. You can use different size fonts to capture different parts of your message.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think, but going back to why you're doing it, it's to capture their attention, and ultimately you're wanting to convert them to customers, so it's got to work towards that goal.
And the hero image that you mentioned before, that does tie in as well with the headline. You know, it's words and images on the page to really get that message across. But what your brand looks like comes through the hero image as well. And you can say a lot with an image. It's the old cliche, it's adage that, you know, a picture speaks 1,000 words. So definitely, what is that hero image on your page? And are you going for a minimalist look? Or are you gonna, you know, what is the tone and feel you want to convey? How do you want people to feel when they land on your website? And a lot of that will come through.
Definitely. I mean, if you're a luxury interiors brand and you want to have a photograph of luxury interiors, you know, a lovely, opulent photograph of your products in a beautiful environment. If you're a freelance copywriter, it's good to have a picture that's quite nice and you look smiley, that people will want to engage and employ you.
Well, maybe that, but recently, I mean, my website's got a smiley picture of me on the homepage, but then I went to visit a fellow copywriter's website recently, and he had a picture of a wallet with somebody taking money out. And I thought, that's genius. Why didn't I think of that? Because essentially, that's what my copy is, you know, that's what I'm trying to achieve through my copy, is it's words that sell. And that, for me, that picture spoke much stronger to that message than happy, smiley, you can work with this happy person.
Yeah, but then you've probably got to scroll because you're thinking, who is this person? Or are they an agency? I mean, that's kind of more agency, isn't it? And then you're thinking, well, who's in the team and why are they not showing their picture? I don't know.
Well, I didn't have any of those, like, oh, gosh, this is, you know, I didn't have any of those feelings. I just thought, great, you know, imagining myself as a client. Yes, I want these words to make me money. And that spoke to me. So if you go onto my website in the next month and you notice there's a wallet with a stuffed full of cash, then you'll know why I've changed my approach.
Copied his idea. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, so then you need to put, or you have to have some text. And I think this is as important as your headline, if not more important, because you need to tell the visitor to your site what your site is all about and why they should invest their time on your site and buy from you or whatever it is that you want them to do. And I'm always really shocked and amazed that, you know, when I look through Mr. Google and go onto various sites, how very often a welcome page will tell me absolutely nothing about the company and what it does and whether it's right for me. Mm. And that happens a lot with tech companies. And it's almost like there's an assumption. There's an assumption, or they haven't really thought about it. They're so wrapped up in their own little world that they're just don't think they need to tell you what they do. And actually,
or the assumption about what stage of awareness their visitors are at. They're already assuming that the visitor already sort of knows something about their brand, but you can't make that assumption. You have to do your homework and find out, you know, who is it that you're talking to, and what do they already know about you. And it is important to have a bit of an explainer on your homepage, welcome page. Definitely you need to do that, but I guess people, again, it's about sometimes the branding, the look and feel wins over the actual messaging. It's like, oh, well, I want it to look minimalist, I don't want it to be cluttered, and yes, there is a place for that, but at the same time you've got to make sure your visitor is clear. You know, it's got to be clear, not just in clear as in it looks minimalist and it's clear looking, it actually clear to understand what it is that you do as a company.
So what do you need to answer? You need to answer the questions who, what, how and where. And
let's break that down a bit. So
who are you?
Yeah. Okay.
What you do?
Yeah.
How you solve someone's problem.
Mm-hmm.
And where you do that? Are you UK? Are you worldwide? Are you in-house?
Yeah.
And
I'd argue it's not just who are you, as in who are you, the company who with this website, but who are you for? You know, it's that question, what's in it for me? And I think we'll come on to that a little bit more when we talk about the about page. But
yes, we will.
But the homepage definitely has to answer, you know, what's in it for me, so the website visitor knows that they've landed in the right place and that this is going to give them the answers that they're looking for.
Which, again, going on to probably one of the most important things, which is how you can solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do this concisely as possible so that it's not a wall of text on that first page. It's a challenge.
Yeah. I don't know that you can tell people on the homepage how you can solve their problem, but you can alert them to the fact you understand their problem. I think perhaps that is more the point, isn't it?
You know what their problem is and that you can and that you can solve it for them.
Yeah. And the visitor being clear that, yeah, they get me. They understand what I'm going through. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
So the other things that you could consider or perhaps should consider on your homepage would be testimonials. So about establishing trust from the get-go, I think is really good. So if you're, you know, a writer or a graphic designer or whatever, then you can have a link to portfolio, your press pages, etc.
Yeah. And I think they call it a proof bar. I've seen it, you know, it can either be like a ticker tape style, you see them scrolling across, but if you've appeared in any press or media or podcasts or summits or wherever, you know, you've got those authority building content, or you've worked with certain clients, people have their logos on, you know, as trusted by Amazon, Marks
by appointment.
Yeah, by appointment to the king. Absolutely. There we go. If you're a royalist, you'll want one of them on your site, but not everybody gets one. It's those badges of honor, isn't it? The credibility markers that can be visual marks, they can be logos. So ask your clients for permission to use their logo, or write it into your contract when you start work with this particular client, you know, that you want to promote the fact that you've worked together after that, and you'll be using their logo on your website.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you can do that, then perfect.
Yeah, because it does speak volumes. You don't have to say much. It's just a visual cue that this person is trusted by these brands, therefore I know that I can trust them.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important things, or the most important thing, is please don't forget a call to action. So when you're putting your homepage together, what is the most important step that you want your visitor to take? So is it to buy a product? Is it to fill in a contact form? What is it that you want them to do? So please don't forget that. And that is a way that you can create a relationship with that visitor as well. So it might be that you can sign up to a newsletter as well. We talk about this in the contact page, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's how you can create a relationship with the user beyond this website browsing experience. How do you capture them and get them into your sales flow or sales funnel, or, you know, into your world? And that some people use pop-up boxes for that, as some, or an exit box as you exit the page, something will come up. Don't forget to, you can download this free thing or sign up to my newsletter, and make sure you have a sort of call to value on that newsletter, so that you're telling people what they're going to get out of it. Why is it worth their time? Because, you know, news equals snooze for a lot of people. It's like, why do I want your boring newsletter? I've got enough clutter in my inbox. You've got to really sell it to them, what it is.
Which is why people like coupons, I think. And actually, I don't know what your thoughts are on pop-ups, but I think they're very successful. I think they're annoying, but I think they're very successful.
Yeah, I think people use them more mindfully now, is my general impression when I go around visiting websites. I think... we know that they're annoying. They can be annoying, but if they're done right and executed at the right time and not overly done, so that you're having to like whack-a-mole with the pop-ups all the time, and that's a surefire way to get someone to leave your website.
I like the way of describing that as whack-a-mole.
But they're
trying to find the little X button.
Find the X button. It's whack-a-mole. Or use buttons on your page as well. And, you know, you can use buttons to get people to click through and lead them into the next part of their website browsing journey with you.
Yes. So, you know, shop now, if you want them to go to your shop, but equally they can also sign up for a 10% off voucher, which you want them to do as well.
You don't need to do all of that stuff on the homepage. You spread it around your website. So you maybe the only call to action you want from someone reading your welcome page or your homepage is to now visit your about page. So that's where the link takes them, you know, and after the about page, maybe that's when they get there. Do you want to sign up to my newsletter, or do you want to do this, you know, a different call to action? So yes, the call to action can just be another way of steering them around your website as well.
Yeah, so please don't forget them, but you'd be amazed how many people don't put calls to action on their homepage.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't forget white space and formatting. We talked about no walls of text, but also just try and keep it looking clean and easy to navigate.
Yeah, and if does that matter if that means people scrolling, or I don't
think people mind now, because most people are doing it on their phones and they're used to doing it anyway.
Yeah. That's of course another thing, is check the formatting on the phone as well as on the PC. I think you know, mobile first is the mantra now. Most people see most things on their mobile first, so it has to work on a small screen. Make sure your website is optimized for mobile. The good news is a lot of these sort of templates and drag and drop sort of web builders now, they do have the mobile first approach. But if you've got a very old website, it might not be optimized for mobile. So you might need to speak to your web designer about, you know, what you can do there.
Yeah, to make it less clunky, because I think it is really important that it looks good on the mobile, definitely.
And it works. And
people are used to scrolling. Functions.
Yeah.
Are used to scrolling, but you don't want to be scrolling forever.
No, but the website, you know, the homepage, unless you've got a one-page website where you put everything onto one scrolling page, then, you know, you don't need to go on and on. But it's still, I think the point is, the formatting is more important than how long people have to scroll for, you know, just making sure it's really clear and it has each piece of text has some breathing room around it and the images work well. That's important. The visual and the aesthetics and the user experience is really important.
Yeah, and we talked about that in the last episode. So please go back to that episode where we talk in more depth about user experience. It's just so important.
Mm-hmm.
So next page, we talk about the about page.
Yeah. The about page on your website. This is where you prove to the reader they can trust you to deliver the solution that they're seeking. And bear in mind, they may not actually know what they're seeking yet. It's for you to sort of try and articulate the problem if they haven't managed to articulate that for themselves yet. But they're there for a reason, and you need to get them to believe in you, and that's your about page goes a long way towards doing that.
You want to answer the reader or the visitor's implicit question, which is, what can you do for me?
Yeah. So while the about page, yes, it makes it sound like it's all about you and you write about what you can do and what you've done and what your qualifications and credentials are, really the reader, the visitor, I should say, is looking at the site as to what's in it for me. And so the about page, you may have heard this before. I know that I have as a copywriter. The about page is not about you, Minnie. It's not about me, Ella. It's about our visitor and our audience and our ideal client. It's about them. They're the hero of this journey. We need to make it obvious how we are there to serve and help them, the visitor.
Yeah. And I think in a crowded market where so few products and services are truly unique, this is your opportunity in this about page to differentiate yourself and, you know, your team, your company from your competitors. Again, I'm amazed some companies don't even have an about page, or when you go on the about page, actually don't tell you about themselves at all.
Mm.
And I think often it's for me. But I am very interested in people and I'm quite nosy. So I like the about page because I want to know who it is that I'm buying from. I want to know who it is behind the brand. What are their values?
Yeah, the provenance of their...
Yeah, and do they align mine?
Yeah.
Where's it made? Where do you have your relationships with? And actually, you know, it's a subtle way to sell to me. But it's about me. It's about making me feel that I can trust them.
And that you buy into it because you share the same values.
Yeah.
Mm.
And building that trust will hopefully turn people into buyers from you. Yeah.
And if you're a personal brand, your about page, use it as a way to share your story. And, you know, your story about the transformation you provide to your clients, because, you know, AI cannot write this story for you. It's yours. You own it. You know, it's your personal thing. And that is what will help you stand out as well. Nobody can compete with you on that level. Nobody shares exactly the same journey that you've been on in developing your products, services, your business, or, you know, how you got here today. So make sure that you share that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered storytelling in a previous episode, but I do think it's worth revisiting over and over again because it's such an important part of standing out from a crowd. It makes you completely unique. And as you say, AI can't write that stuff.
No, not genuinely and authentically anyway. And the stories, you know, storytelling doesn't have to be a long-winded novel or a memoir or anything like that. You know, you can tell a story in a matter of words, a single sentence. But, you know, there is an art to it. And again, a copywriter can help here
in articulating that and getting it, teasing it out and turning it into a copy that's suitable for an about page on a website. So there's definitely an art to it.
The key function is to succinctly give the reader another chance, because you want them to have be giving sort of mental green ticks as they go through, and I think it will do that, or the aim is to do that. So mentally they're saying, I like that, I yes. like that.
Yeah, I've heard it also sort of suggested as micro yeses, getting, you know, it's that head nod as you read through. Yep, okay, I'm with it, I like this. So all these opportunities are these micro yeses, these head nods, these mental green ticks. They are little sales triggers, really. They are helping people on their journey to work with you, to buy from you.
One of the things that also I was going to say is also don't forget the present, what you're doing now and in the future. Because I think people, if you can have a vision, I think share that too, because you can then pull people along on your journey, or they'll see that you've got future, they see that you've got plans, and that you're not a fly-by-night company, you're looking into the future. I think that's worth thinking about.
That's a really good point, I think. To take people along with you. You know, we want your customers, your clients, to invest in, you know, they're putting part of themselves into you, your journey. So get them invested in that. Do they share the same vision? Absolutely.
So
decide what you want to include in your about page, which part of your story is suitable to share, or which, you know, what components you want to include. What language can you use that reflects the company's spirit, the tone of voice? How can you connect this page to other pages on the site? So this again is you as the tour guide, you know, where are you going to take people to next? One of those places that sort of logically follows on from an about page would be a services page or a product. Now they've learned about you, how can they work with you? You know, so you might signpost them to your services page. We're not going to go into detail about that. Or if you're a product based business, it could be your shopfront. What imagery do you want to use? You can use photos, you can use videos. Video, powerful tool, easy to embed now in a website. You know, do you want to include video there? Is that important?
Yeah, video testimonials that people like now, don't they? So yeah, press. You can always do press cuttings. Links to other, obviously you said links to other website pages, which is really important. And then you need to, again, have a think about your call to action. So what do you want them to do?
Okay.
And maybe you want them to go to the contact us page, which is what we're going to talk about next, which is our third essential page.
Mm-hmm. One of the most valuable pages on your site, because this is how you connect. This is how people can connect with you. A particular bugbear of mine, and this is very common on websites, is the contact page is just you click on the link to contact us and you get hit with a form where you have to put your name and address in there. Why? I don't want to put my name and address in. I want to contact you. That means I want to either pick up the phone or I want to send you an email. I do not want to fill out a whole thing.
Yeah. You know,
for me, that is friction. That is
why do people do that?
Is it because they don't want to be contacted?
Do you think?
Yeah. Contact us, though. No, don't really, because that means we'll have to do some work. So here's a form to fill in. Oh, the bureaucracy of it. I hate it.
Yeah, but I think maybe that's more a big company that doesn't want you to contact them because they're like a gas company or something. But I think I sort of understand, because then it's going to be outsourced to somebody in India and they need to know all the details. Whereas if it's you and me, and someone wants to contact us for copywriting, you don't really want to give them a form. You definitely don't want to give them a form. Ever send us a form.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe there is, you could have both options, you know, for the customer who just wants to get in touch quickly and whose question hasn't been answered on the website and they need to actually get in touch, or they actually genuinely want to, you know, work with you. The quick, you know, the email link or the direct way to contact, and have an intake form for the people who do need to give that bit more detail. You can have both. I know why, you know, I have an intake form on my website for anyone who wants to actually book a meeting, and it does help to, you know, from a website owner's point of view, it helps me to vet and establish, you know, why are these people contacting me, what's the relevance. You know, you essentially, it's a stranger contacting you, so you do need to know a little bit of information about them, but just be aware that it's a real friction point for some people, me especially. And yeah, I might not be ready to divulge all my personal information and my goals at this point, or I might not be able to articulate why I need to have the conversation. It needs to be a bit more free flow than that.
It's got to have good design and navigation. It's got to be easily accessible, be user-friendly. Again, clear formatting, you know, it's the old mantra, clear formatting. When they come on the contact, do you want them to contact you or not? Yeah. I think we've decided. So if you do, you know, a click to an email, a phone number.
And if you don't, then have you got a frequently asked questions page? Have you got something if the chances are you think that people are going to contact you just to answer as something that's straightforward that a bot could answer, then have you got that bot available for them so they know where to go next? Or, you know, there are asynchronous ways that you can communicate with your website visitors. So Video Ask, if you've heard of that as a platform, it's a piece of software you can embed into your website. But this is where you record a personalized video. Hi, I'm Ella, how can I help you? People will see that and they have the option to either send you a message via Video Ask, or they can reply with a video, or they can, you know, ask a question. And then when you, as the website owner, see that, you can choose how and when you respond to that, you know, so it's not, you don't have to be on the whole time, but it's a more humanist, you know, it's more human way. It's not as so robotic as having a chatbot on there. But people
have not come across that.
Oh, have you not? It's popular. I mean, there is a cost to it, but it's clever. Tech Pixies use it. Joy's got it on. If you go on to techpixies.com, you'll see Joy pop up. Joy's the founder and definitely the face behind that brand. One of the faces behind that brand, but she's on the website. So yeah, suggest you, once you, now you know about it, you'll start to spot it on websites. But
maybe
cool, a bit tool.
Don't like leaving videos.
No, but you don't have to. You could just reply by text, you know.
Okay.
And then also that's quite helpful, because however somebody contacts you, you know how their preferred way, style of communication, and you can respond back to them. So let's go back to, you know, what else must the contact page have?
Call to action.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course. Every page needs that. It's important.
So links to other pages again.
Yeah, just on the call to action, though, you know, we're offering alternative ways for people to contact you. So if they're not ready to make that direct contact, how else can they? You know, yes, we talked about signing up for a newsletter. Perhaps if you have an email newsletter, they can do that. That could be your
follow me on social media.
Yeah, I think that's a good place. You can embed your last few Instagram posts onto your contact page so that they can see clearly what sort of your content's like, and you can establish a connection that way, so get them to follow you on social. I am aware that Instagram have just changed the rules on using those embedded social media posts on people's websites. So if you're an Instagram user, for example, you need to have a creator account or a business account in Instagram to be able to embed your last sort of, and it's a live feed of your last four or five posts, let's say, four actually, that you can have displayed on your website. But if you've got a personal Instagram account, it's not going to work anymore. They've changed the rules. But it's quite easy to set up a creator or switch to a creator or a business account.
Yeah, they don't check anyway. So you can call yourself what you like, really, can't you? You can call yourself a business or a creator, even if...
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, you can set it up as you like.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, so that's another, you know, softer call to action. Follow me on social.
Yeah, and you know, we'll sign up for a voucher or sign up for to hear, you know, about our special offers, whatever it is, that you'll be the first to hear about our new products, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, again, keep it simple. I mean, we've talked about, I mean, probably if you're thinking, oh my God, I've got to include, it's not very much. It's just about being thoughtful and thinking about how to maximize this page, really.
Yeah, and it's thought about, it's about connecting with your visitor after this web browsing session has closed. You know, how are you going to stay in touch now?
But also try and be creative, and doesn't mean to say be wacky, but think about being creative and memorable if you can. And maybe you would do that through a graphic or a sign off, or just maybe your tone of voice. But just have a think about how you can just stand out a bit rather than just saying, contact me at this email address. Just
thank them for their visit.
Yes. That's a nice thing to do too. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to think about, isn't there, with these three pages?
Yes. And there are so many different ways you can position them, and they can look different and feel different. But these are fundamentally, you know, this will give people, you can do for them, why they should trust you, and how they can get in touch, how they can contact you.
Yeah. So we hope this has been really helpful. We hope that you'll join us for episode 4 in this series.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride.
Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.